This recording was made in The Booth, a ministry of Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church in Dallas, Texas. This is Mark Melson, and I'm here with my friend Jack Irons. It's December 14th of 2016, and we're in The Booth, and we're going to talk about Jack and a little bit about his life and his relationship to Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church. Jack, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Some biographical stuff. Let's get some biographical stuff out of the way. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Quanah, Texas, named after the famous Comanche Indian chief, Quanah Parker. I grew up in Big Spring, Texas. My dad moved the family there when I was 2 years old. He took over operations of the cotton compress in Big Spring, which was on the other side of the tracks, if you will. So I like to point out that I was born on the north side, or I grew up on the north side, which is in Big Spring. It's like saying you're from South Dallas.
What were your parents like?
Oh, they were fantastic people. They were hardworking, came from pioneer families. We have a history point that there was one of Stephen F. Austin's old 300 group that came to Texas originally back in 1826 that his name was John Irons, and I'm desperately trying to track down were we related to that Irons or not, because it sure would be a proud moment for us.
Sure.
Also, my father's grandmother was a Tannehill. Her father was Francis Richardson Tannehill. The Tannehill family was part of the group that helped build Texas. Jesse Tannehill is buried in the Texas State Cemetery in Austin. Part of the town of Austin at one time was owned by Jesse Tannehill down on the east side of 35, down near the river, I think is where it was. My grandfather on my dad's side was born in Hopkins County at Sulphur Springs, East Texas. Moved to Paducah, Texas, after his first wife died, and he took his baby. She died in childbirth, and moved to Cottle County, where he became district clerk, county clerk, and met my grandmother, and they married and had five more children, my dad being the second from the youngest. My mother, her dad was a chemist and lived in Quanah and worked throughout the state looking for gypsum deposits. And we like to think that the big gypsum operation outside of Sweetwater was located by my grandfather, John Brazil. And my uncle, Dick Brazil, who passed away a few years ago, likes to tell the story that the three brothers that came to the U.S. from France, named Brothil, spread out, couldn't get people to pronounce the name correctly, so they just said, well, it's Brazil, like the country. My mom was an athlete, as was my dad. My mom was on a state championship basketball team. She was a horse. She was on a mounted square dance team.
A mounted?
Mounted square dance
team.
Yeah. Fantastic stories. If you haven't been to Quanah, you need to go and go around the corner, go around the square, because there's a big statue of Quanah Parker there. So it's kind of as mean and ruthless as those guys were back then. Quanah is certainly a very famous person in Texas history. So I like to claim that, even though I know he was a bad dude early on, then he became civilized, if you will, and took his tribe into the reservation. My mother says that she can remember when she was a little girl, Quanah's tribe would come to Quanah each year for the Water Manitou, the rodeo, each year. Quanah died in 06, I think, something like that. And my mom was born in 14. Oh, she would have been 100 years old this year. That's right.
So this was a regular rodeo, not a square dancing rodeo.
Well, apparently she it was enough to where she was known for it. So my dad ran the cotton compress. Most of my friends had no idea what a cotton compress was when I was growing up, but my brothers and I would play on the cotton bales all day long and suffered the consequences when we turned over a bale, which we did frequently. So we weren't restricted to the house by any means, but we did play a lot out, catching horny toads and, you know, doing things like kids would do.
How many brothers did you have?
I had two brothers. I'm the oldest of three. I always like to tell them that I'm the best looking. You know. My youngest brother died a few years ago, committed suicide, which was really, really tough on us all. And my middle brother lives in San Angelo, and he's a guide for hunting trips out in the hill country of Texas. And it's a perfect job for him because he's a super, super guy. And
Your parents, were they, would you call them strict? Would you call them affectionate? How would you describe them?
Strict is a very good word. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad was toe the mark, boys. And I had my bottom paddled many, many times for screwing up and doing things I know I shouldn't have done. Now that I look back on it, but he was a great guy. Taught us lots of lessons in life. He was not an affectionate person, but I knew that he loved me, and he would come to all of our sporting events. All of us boys were athletes,
And how? What kind of person was your mom?
She was involved in everything. She was head of this committee at the church and this committee in the local politics. Volunteered in numerous different things. There is an award at the hospital in Big Spring for the volunteer who donates the most time during the year, and they call it the Kate Irons Award.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Pretty special. She was a bridge player, and smart, loving, and she loved to tell jokes. She was really an outgoing, fun person to be around.
Did you have the feeling as a kid growing up that you were loved, that you had the basic necessities, that you all had needs, that you weren't poor or struggling or...
No, we were not poor. We didn't have a whole lot of extra money by any means. We lived in the company house on the property of the compress, but it never even occurred to me that we might be poor. But I knew we weren't rich.
So they were reasonably happy years.
Oh yes. My brothers and I would fight frequently, and it was all great until my younger brother grew up and got bigger than me, and then the fight stopped for a very good reason.
Yeah. Where did you go to college?
I went to college at Texas El Paso. At that time, it was called Texas Western. I went on a football scholarship. As a matter of fact, it turned out that the three captains of the Big Spring High School football team, all of us went to Texas Western. I played middle linebacker. First coach was Bum Phillips.
Later of the Houston Oilers.
Houston
fame.
Oilers and also the New Orleans Saints.
And then his son is a coach as well.
His son was growing up there. I don't really remember him, but he was a high school kid when we were all going to school there. I went on a football scholarship. I played into my junior year, and then I was one of those guys that had too many concussions, so they told me that I shouldn't play anymore. So I finished my scholarship coaching the freshman team. So I was involved in the athletic program for 5 years. Took an extra semester to graduate because my degree was in electrical engineering, and it took a bit to get out.
That was wise of them to make you stop playing back in those days, because that was before a lot of the modern concerns about the effect of concussions.
Yes, yes.
So you were fortunate.
I was fortunate, yeah.
How did you come to Dallas?
In interviewing for a job in electrical engineering, I had two or three opportunities, one of which was working for McDonnell Douglas in Long Beach. One was Lone Star Steel Company in Houston and LTV Electrical Systems in Dallas, and we wanted to come to Dallas, my wife and I. My wife and I were high school sweethearts. We started dating our senior year, went to college together. And
when did you get married?
We got married in June of 66.
Was that after you graduated?
That was our senior year. Oh. That was the summer of what would have been our graduating year, mm-hmm. but we both stayed for another semester. Mm-hmm. I was coaching the freshman football team, and needed a few more hours in engineering. And she needed some hours in practice teaching with her education degree. And then...
did she teach after you
she did
got
not.
Out of school?
Okay. No. But we moved to Dallas to take a job for with LTV Electrical Systems, which is now part of Raytheon, mm-hmm. over in Garland is where the plant was where I worked. And we did antenna design and testing for the airplanes that LTV built over in Grand Prairie. The A-7s and the F-8s, and it was a esoteric-type job. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk more in a few minutes about your wife, Moselle.
That was Moselle. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about her in a few more minutes. Help me to get up to date here now. Your kids and your grandkids, who are they and where are they?
Well, fortunately, our son, Craig, is here in Dallas today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He and his family live in San Francisco. He works in Silicon Valley as a worldwide sales manager for a company that does programming for the cloud for mostly telecommunications company. He's here seeing that type of company. Fortunately, we'll be here again tonight, too. So.
Good.
It's really great. He is 47 years old. Yeah, 47 years old. He and his wife have three children. Will, who is now 16, the quarterback on the school football team.
So he didn't follow in his grandfather's steps as a linebacker.
He had more sense. Yeah. My son was a football player at a Jesuit High School here in Dallas, and then went on to Washington and Lee, where he was an All-American.
At what position?
At wide receiver.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Good.
He was great. Really, really a good man, good man.
So other than the football player, does Craig have any other children?
Yes. His son, as I mentioned, is the quarterback on their high school football team, and he's 6'4".
And his name is?
Will.
Will.
Christian William,
mm-hmm.
the name Will. He's a junior, and this summer we'll be taking the college tour, looking for where he wants to go to college.
Football scholarship, maybe?
Probably not, okay. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, he might get a chance to play football at maybe a Division III. That's what Craig did, and I mean, he wound up being pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. They have the second child is a girl, Caroline Moselle. And she's an athlete as well. They all are very fluent in Spanish. They went to a Spanish immersion public school in San Francisco. And
that's impressive.
Oh, it's very impressive. It's unreal to listen to those kids. They're kind of make me feel stupid.
Craig's wife's name?
Her name is Lauren.
Lauren.
She's from Austin. They met in graduate school. Craig got a degree in English from Washington and Lee. Super all-around education. Then he worked in the advertising business for a year or two, and then went back to school to get his MBA at Texas. And that's where they met. Mm-hmm. Then at Texas, he worked at Dell Computers for the summer. And then when he graduated, went to work for Dell and was stationed in San Francisco.
That's probably a great launching pad for him.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Fantastic, yeah. And she, when she got her MBA, she worked for 3M in Austin. And then they, just after their second child came, Caroline, she kind of backed off and became mom.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also Miss PTA, Miss, you know, everything. Golly.
And
Caroline is 13. Mm-hmm. And then the youngest is Jackson Donald. He's 10. Jackson is the kind of guy who has got two speeds, full and off. You know, he is going all the time. Super, super young man.
Tell us about your daughter.
My daughter, Lindsay, is 41 years old. She and her husband have one child, Callan Irons Norton. Her husband is Bill Norton, who, interesting enough, spent half of his life in El Paso. His dad and I went to school at the same time at Texas Western, but we didn't know each other at the time. They've been married for 5 years now, I think. Their son, Callan, is 3 years old. 3 years old yesterday. We went down for the party, for a party. The big birthday party happens this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, my daughter is a psychologist. She has a private practice where she's got 10 other psychologists that work, if you will, under her or rent space from her. She's a real estate magnet now.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's pretty sharp in that area. That's good. Okay, those are my two, and then mm-hmm. we'll get to it later, but I have a third,
mm-hmm.
Michelle, who is my wife Marilyn's daughter, and she's an artist and a darn good one, too.
Good.
Yeah. She's
where's she living now?
She lives in an apartment down across the street from Fair Park.
Oh, good.
Really, right, literally across the street from the front entrance of Fair Park, where the train comes by every 30 minutes. Seems like both of my girls like to live by train tracks, because Lindsay did when she went to school at she went to school in Memphis at Rhodes College, and one of her apartments was right next to the train track.
So they're both well-trained.
Oh, Mark, that's another good one.
So you're retired now?
Trying to be.
Okay.
Yes.
And other than church activities, which we'll talk about a little bit, in what other things do you invest your time?
Well, I've got a couple of nonprofits that I'm trying to stay busy at. I work with and enjoy the efforts required of you from the Salesmanship Club, which are the sponsors of the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament.
Those are the guys with the red trousers, right?
The red pants,
yeah.
That's right. And my job now, at one time I was in charge of all the buses that transported people from the parking lots at Texas Stadium up to the tournament site. And then I was involved in all the furniture necessary to do it. To do the tournament, like chairs and desks and what have you. Now I've gotten a promotion so that I'm the number one bathroom pointer. People will walk up to me on the sidewalk and say, "Where's the nearest bathroom?" And I'm supposed to know.
That's important.
It's a really important. I'm a greeter. Welcome to the Byron Nelson.
So what other nonprofit were you helping out?
I'm involved in the Computers for the Blind organization, where we will take any company's computers that they're through with, because they want to buy new ones, and we'll take them and scrub the hard drives, put on software that a blind person can use, where the software will read out loud what's on the screen. Since they can't see the screen, of course, they learn how to operate it, and so they can do their email and write letters and just use a computer as the typewriter, or mm-hmm. the email part of it is the number one thing. We try to get companies located anywhere and everywhere to donate their old computers, and I'll go pick them up in my red truck, and then all the guys who know what they're doing will do what they need to do to the inside of the machine so that we can donate them. Actually, we don't donate them. We sell them to people with visual problems for $100, mm-hmm. which gives them a skin in the game so they don't just blow it off. They've got some investment in it. It's good.
Do you have any hobbies, cooking, wood carving, anything like that?
I do help Marilyn around the house a lot.
Good.
I do.
I'm sure she appreciates it.
I certainly hope so. We cook. I cook not as a chef, but as a boil water and, you know, cook out steaks and that
you,
sort of
you
thing.
You and I are on about the same level there.
Oh. Yeah. I used to think it was pretty sophisticated, but I've learned, no, it's not.
Mm. You play golf?
I have some clubs.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the church for a minute. And did you have anything else you wanted to say?
I do. I want to talk about Marilyn.
Okay. I have her on my list.
Oh, okay.
Can we get there in a little
bit?
Yeah,
we can get there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you bet.
When and why did you start attending Preston Hollow?
Great story. I grew up Presbyterian, First Presbyterian Church in Big Spring, member of the youth group. When we moved to Dallas to work at LTV, we lived in this neighborhood, if you will, just off of Central and Meadow Road. And so we tried this church. And at the time, having come from the little church in Big Spring, this was kind of big. So we joined Churchill Way Presbyterian, which is just up the road, 3 miles or so.
Was up the road.
Mm-hmm. Was up the road. Mm-hmm. Now it's part. The building is part of the Cooper Institute. And I was involved there. I was on the session, and I was the treasurer of the church, and our children were both baptized there. They didn't ask me to sing in the choir there either, so that was kind of disappointing. After I had worked for LTV for a couple of years, I went back to school at North Texas to get an MBA. And after I graduated, I went to work for Atlantic Richfield Company. During my tenure there, progressed to different jobs so that at one point I was director of part of the budget for the company. And I got a chance to go to Anchorage and work in Anchorage while the pipeline was finishing. And since I was gone so much, I lost my job as treasurer of Churchill Way. But I had good friends here at Preston Hollow, one of whom was an executive at ARCO, a guy named Bill Albright. After I came home, we just kind of would come here for a little while, and then we'd go back to Churchill Way. But Bill died. He died from a heart attack riding the bus home from downtown out to this neighborhood. And I came to the funeral, and it made such an impression on me with all the people that quite a number of whom I knew, how they expressed their love and concern for Bill and his family, that just convinced us that this is where we should go. And so we joined the church the Sunday that we dedicated the ground for the chapel.
Wow.
So that must have been 1980 or 81 or so. My name tag says 81, so okay. I guess that's when it was. Okay.
What kind of things have you been involved with over the years at the church, programs, worship?
I would like to say that I'd been a member of the choir, but Terry Price saw to it that I never got close.
As a member of the choir, I can tell you that you are the most valued honorary member of the choir that we have.
Yeah, that's very
You've
kind.
Helped the choir in many ways. Singing wasn't one of them, but there have been many other ways.
I understand that.
And the choir is grateful for it.
I have a story about my about me not being a member of the choir. Yeah, I think so. There is a young man here at church that's challenged a bit. And he and I were sitting next to each other in church one Sunday morning, and it came time to sing a hymn, and he looked at me and says, "Jack, I thought you were a member of the choir." I said, "No," I'll call him George. "No, George, I'm not. I'm just a lay member." So we sing the hymn, and afterwards he looks at me and says, "Jack, I see now why you're not in the choir." That was the funniest. I said, "Well, you got that right."
But other things.
I've been on session twice. I've been a deacon. I helped with the youth Sunday school for quite a while. I helped run the treasure hunt that the youth have. Ted Moore taught me how to do that, and so I tried to follow in his footsteps. What else have I done? I've done a volunteer video effort for quite some time.
Especially for choir programs.
Choir programs.
That many of the video and audio that exists is due to you.
Yeah, and the programs for the children that Maryland would conduct as a creative arts workshop. We've got a library of 20 or so programs that she conducted, and I need to get those back up here to the church, by the way, so that they'll be saved, mm-hmm. which I will do. Mm-hmm. I've run the stewardship program twice. What else have I done? I'm a founding member of the Men's Breakfast that meets on Tuesday mornings. Mm-hmm. Actually, Moselle was kind of responsible for that.
Oh, really?
We were visiting at a Wednesday Night Live program, which is a program we had way back that Jerry Shetler had organized. And one Wednesday evening, we were gathered in the parlor, questions for the preacher sort of thing. And I remember my dad taking me to a men's breakfast program at First Presbyterian in Big Spring. And I asked Jerry if we had ever had anything like that around here. And he said, "No, but maybe we should have one." And Moselle popped up and said, "Well, Jack will start it." So she's given credit of starting the men's
and
breakfast.
And that's a thing that's continued to this day.
To this day, yeah. All right.
Jack, churches often intersect with people at critical times in their lives. How has Preston Hollow intersected with you at major events in your life?
Well, the major event, when Moselle died, she died of a brain hemorrhage in 1984 when she was 39 years old. And
how old were your kids at that time?
Craig was 15 and Lindsay was 9. We were trying to plan the funeral, and she was in intensive care in the hospital for a month. And, of course, we were here every time the doors opened, and my mother, who was obviously staying with us at the time, said that she remembered some pretty voice singing during that month, something or another, and said, maybe you could find the, ask the preacher who that was. And so I asked Jerry Shetler, you know, who might that have been? And he knew, of course, that it was Marilyn. And so I said, can see if we can get her to sing, because the girl who had sung at our wedding.
At the memorial service.
Moselle's and my wedding wasn't available at the time. We'd been married for 18 years at that point. So he found out who it was, and it's an interesting story there. She was a flight attendant at the time, and was off on a trip. And so he called American Airlines and talked his way through the bureaucracy of supervisors and so forth, located where she was, because he knew who it was, but where she was. And it's interesting that at that time, whenever she was at a layover, she would never stay in her hotel room. She was off doing something, you know, like she does today. But she happened to be in the room, and he caught her and said, there's, you know, been a tragedy here, and they've asked for you to sing. And she said, yeah, I'll be happy to. Well, she sang the Lord's Prayer at Moselle's funeral.
And you say Moselle had been in the hospital for?
A month.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. She never regained consciousness from her hemorrhage. And
so the memorial service was here, and Jerry
performed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing the song, but I never even saw her. During the next several days and several weeks, I would counsel with Jerry, you know, how do I live life now? I
mean, did you have this feeling, I mean, God has forsaken me? Do you have any feeling like that?
Oh, yeah. It was like, how could you do this? You can't be a kind God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. There's a intersection, Walnut Hill and Inwood Road, that every time I'd go through that intersection, I'd lose it.
So how did Jerry help?
Well, one day he said, well, you know, Jack, one day you might want to think about moving on. And in Maryland, this is literally what he said. You know, if I was single, I'd be after her with the fastest car I could find. I said, well, okay, that's great. And I'd never seen her, so I didn't really know anything about her. And so one day after church, one Sunday, I waited in the Northex, because the choir at that time was down in the basement, and asked one of the choir members if Marilyn Rawlings was still down there. And she said, yeah, I think so. I said, would you mind asking her to come up? And, you know, Jerry had told me that she was pretty cute. Mm-hmm. And when she walked up and introduced herself, I said, oh, I didn't realize you'd be this cute, which fortunately didn't turn her off. So, but I thanked her for what she had done. Uh-huh. And then a couple of weeks later, I got up enough nerve and called her and said, meaning to ask her, would you like to go get a cup of coffee just to talk? And I said, go out to dinner.
Oh.
As soon as I said it, I thought, oh, no, I did not mean to do that. But she said yes. And fortunately, she called me back in about an hour and said, I'm so sorry, I forgot that my mom's in town and we've got this play we're going to and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's all right. Okay, thank you. And just let it go. And I know she thought I was kind of weird, but everybody else does. But I was at that time, I was the in charge of the Dallas All Sports Banquet.
Right, I remember that organization.
Yeah. So I finagled it to where I would get Marilyn to come and sing the national anthem which had never been done before.
You devil.
Oh, I know. I know. So I got her to do that, and that's kind of where we met, basically. And we started dating then, and and a year and a half later, we married. Mm-hmm. Now we've been married almost 31 years.
Wow. Judy and I were at the wedding. I remember that.
Yeah.
You wanted to, earlier you said you wanted to talk about Marilyn. Maybe this is a good time to talk about her.
Oh. I am truly blessed to have loved and been loved by two of the most wonderful people on earth. Moselle was like that, and Marilyn is certainly like that. She's gorgeous. She's talented. She works her tail off. She's been a wonderful mother to my children, and I've hopefully been a pretty decent stepfather to her daughter. She's involved in obviously the church and the choir. She's the oldest tenured member of the choir that the choir has now, which is 30-something years. I think that's right. Well, it'd have to be right, 35 years. we like to travel together. We like to laugh, and we do cook together, and we do, when I say cook, I'll boil the water and stuff like that. But she's, like I said, been a wonderful mother, a great grandmother. Mimi is her name now, her grandmother name.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents were just fantastic. Her father was a Nazarene minister. And he welcomed me when he first realized that we were sweet on each other, and invited me to come up to Idaho, where he and his wife lived, outside of Boise, and said, "Let's go fishing." So I came up with the intent of talking to him about asking for Marilyn's hand. And the night before, we were all getting ready to go and packing up our stuff, and he was in there shining his shoes. And I said, "Earl, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm shining my shoes. We're going fishing." I mean, literally. Well, I thought, how in the world am I going to talk to him about this? I got to figure out some way to do it. We hadn't even gotten out of the city limits when I was already talking to him about it. He was unbelievable, nice guy. I've been blessed by my own dad, and Moselle's dad was a hell of an influence on me, and Earl, Marilyn's dad, was a big influence on me. So fortunately, I've had some people kicking me in the butt when I needed it along the way.
Well, I think we've covered some really major events in your life and how the church has helped you.
Oh, the church. I tell you, Sunday mornings to me are the best times of the week. Absolutely the best times of the week. I've got it's like family here.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are kind and reach out to you and will give you a hug when you need it. Because, well, I need them.
And you've given as many as you've gotten, I'm sure, maybe more.
Well, it came from the fact that at one time I didn't have anybody to hug.
Right.
So that's literally how all that got started. It's important, really important. It's like having, like you and Judy. I mean, you guys are just, look up to you so much that I'd even try to tell a joke now and then in your presence, which I know is going to fail. But
well, I appreciate that, but I want to stay focused on you for a minute. So think for a minute, and what are some of the times when you have really felt God's presence in your life?
When I allowed myself to be happy again, when I realized that there was a future for me and my children, and the love that I felt from this place and the people in it. When my parents died, and her parents died, and my in-laws, I mean, we all go through this part of life. Mm-hmm. But when it happened to me, I took it really personal. And recovering from that is important, and the process that you go through to realize that there will be a tomorrow. You got to have that, and God has helped me get through that. And watch my children grow and mature, and I thought, boy, oh boy, am I lucky or what?
Well, what kind of things have you not yet seen or done that you would like to see or do?
Well, one thing that I did start out doing is that when we first moved to Dallas, I got involved in football officiating because I played football since the fourth grade, and so I did officiate football for 10 or 12 years and got into the college ranks. But then my son started getting old enough to where I didn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I earned my pilot's license. And
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was something I really, really enjoyed. But it was a little expensive, and we had two children at the time, so it was like Moselle said, you sure you want to do this? Marilyn encouraged me to go back to it, and for some reason, you know, learning to fly around Dallas is, you really got to be focused. You got to pay attention mm-hmm. all the time, and I felt like that in order for me to do that, I needed to fly a lot, mm-hmm. and we just didn't have the time or the money.
What would you do differently if you had your life to live over again?
Differently. I think in college I would have studied a different subject instead of electrical engineering. I think if I'd studied civil engineering and became a builder or of something or another, it might have been something that I could point to and say, hey, I was involved in that. I mean, like Kelly Williams, he is such a nice guy, he and Anil. But he can point to this and that, and Ron Gafford and all those guys are involved in buildings. And I thought, man, I was involved in that. And I look at an airplane flying over, and I say, well, the antennas on that plane, the what? so that I would have done that. I don't know. I don't know. I've been blessed so many ways. So often that it's not something I've regretted in anything, I don't think.
What would you like to pass along to your kids and your grandkids?
Well, their heritage, for one, how their families contributed to the foundation of where we are and what we are. Her mother, Moselle, was adopted as a baby, so we don't know anything about her birth family. But her family that raised her, Ted and Ethel Grobel, were super people. He was a big believer in the shrine and the mm-hmm. Masons, and contributed a lot of time, money, and effort to the hospitals and the burn centers that the shrine have. He was a super, super guy. Kind of wild from time to time. Didn't mind taking a risk, but contributed so much to so many. I'd like for them to understand that, and I'd like for them to give back like I think I'm trying to, and hopefully making some sort of contribution somewhere along the line. They're smart, they're good looking, they're ambitious, they work hard, all three of them. You know, they're good people, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud of that.
How would you like to be remembered? By your family, by your friends, by people around the church? How would you like to be remembered?
You know, I've thought about that from time to time, and I guess the number one thing is he was a good guy. That's it. He was a good guy. And hopefully I have been.
I may have interrupted you earlier when I had asked you what you still wanted to do that you hadn't done. You're talking about flying. Is there anything else on that list?
I would like to parachute once. And now that I had my heart attack a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. that I have lost enough weight to where I qualify now.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I would like to do that.
I didn't know there was a weight limit.
Yeah, you can't be more than 225.
Oh.
At least okay. That's the way I read it.
All right.
And I was, but I'm not now.
Are there places that you haven't been that you'd like to go see?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been to Garland two or three times.
Yeah. So you can cross that off the list.
Yeah, I've got there. Actually, I worked there for a while.
Yeah.
Marilyn and I are fortunate that her being a flight attendant, we still have flying privileges. So we go a lot, probably not as much as we can. We have we're fortunate that we have a condo. We're with 15 other families. We're partners in a condo down on the beach at Pensacola. We own a log cabin in the woods outside of Nashville, which is really neat and fun. Her sister lives nearby, so we kind of share it, mm-hmm. if you will. We get to go see Craig and his family in San Francisco, which is kind of neat. We get to see Lindsay down in Austin. So every Texan loves Austin. Some.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle was involved in art school in Boston and New York and Paris and Rome and where the Leaning Tower is, right?
Pisa.
Yeah, but the big town next door.
Oh, sorry.
You got to fly into Pisa to go to mm-hmm. whatever the town is.
So you've seen some of Europe?
Some, yeah. Because of Marilyn singing and the church's activities in international choir festivals, we've been to England, have struck up a wonderful friendship with Paul and Sheila Lettington Wright, and so we travel with them from time to time and learn about English history and what it's like to work for the Queen and mm-hmm. so forth. So they're super nice folks. We enjoy taking cruises. We went to Alaska, took the Alaska cruise, and really liked that. I like to make a difference here, some way or another. I don't think it's administratively, because sometimes I feel like I'm a failure at that. But
you don't think you haven't already made a difference for a lot of people?
Well, I like to think maybe I have, but
But you got some good years left, so there's more to do.
God, yes, man.
More to do.
I was talking to a lady today at my cardiac rehab session, and we're talking about she was telling how old she was and felt old and so forth. And I said, well, I bet I'm as old as you are. And she looked at me and said, "No way." I said, "Well, I'm 72. "You are?" I said, "Yeah. Well, I'm 74, so yeah, I understand." I got a lot left.
What haven't I asked you, or what haven't we talked about that you want to talk about, or have we covered it all?
I am excited that we have Matthew here. This idea of the booth and recording people, I don't know if it was yours or...
Not mine.
Whose ever it was. There are some folks I'd love to hear what they've had to say, assuming that you've interviewed them or will.
Well, momentum is picking up. It was a little slow when we started out, but there are more and more people signing up now.
Yeah, there are people in this church that just amaze me how smart they are, how loving they are, and how much of a contribution they make, not financially, just being here makes a difference. You know, I like to get from them, and I do.
Jack, you're a good guy. You've lived a rich and fulfilling life, and we're grateful that you took the time to come here and talk about it.
Well, Mark, doing it with you is what enticed me to do it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This recording was made in The Booth, a ministry of Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church in Dallas, Texas. For more information about The Booth, visit www.phpc.org.